crack open a cold one, kick back, and enjoy a week's worth of conversation from pop culture, sports, breaking news, and everything in between. Welcome to the Pine Room Podcast. At the beginning of the podcast each week, everyone on the show rolls a 20-sided die. The person who rolls the lowest number then becomes the moderator for that week's show, and it's their job to move the conversation along and switch from various topics or questions that can be found on the moderator's cheat sheet or custom ones they've brought in themselves. If you have a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us an email to contact@thepineroompodcast.com. Well, that's enough of that. Let's get into the show. You're listening to the Pine Room Podcast.
All right, welcome in to the Pine Room Podcast, episode 123. Three of us are here right now. We will soon have a fourth, Jeff, in transit with some work things to finish up. Matt, Coach, and Chris here with you now. We got a large week coming up. It's Pine Room opening week. Soup's getting married. We just had Mike Florio on the radio show. We got high school football coming out the ass right now. We're ready to go. It's a huge week on lots of levels, and we'll conclude it with, the Pine Room festivities on Pine Room opening day, Mountaineers and Penn State, among some other big games on the card. But Coach will be down at Parkersburg South on Friday for the big game, Wheeling Park and Parkersburg South, the opener in West Virginia. We had two games on the Watchdog Airways last week, and it was a successful first weekend with our football radio shows and game broadcasts. So, guys, first of all, let me commend everybody for their wonderful work, from Jubb to Chris at the control deck to Coach and Soup and Cooley out at the field and on the sidelines and the play-by-play and all that. And then I participated and joined in the best that I could with the pregame and postgame, along with our Gumby's Football Friday shows that we have kicked off beginning last week. So it was a fun week. It's only going to get busier, guys.
Yeah, I just can't believe everything you just said right there that's happening. Like this week, and it's happened so far, we've shoved it all into and it's all happened like quickly too. I mean, this all came about. Soup and I were talking. This has been about a month and a little over a month that all this has come about, you know, with us, you know, taking over the controls with the management side of the radio and then doing the broadcasts of both Park and Central and having to learn all that and going out and get sponsorships. And then, geez, oh, Pete, the things that we've had to make adjustments in our schedules on Friday and
right.
Your prep, you know, now we're doing a pregame show, which is incredible, a halftime show, which is, you know, state of the art. I think for what, for the time frame that we've had to get this all put together, I think it was a total success. And I've heard some good things about what we're doing and the added features we're doing. And I think I was talking to Soup on the way down. I think it's we're only going to get better. And I hope I have some really good ideas. I'm sure you guys do, to make it even better. But we just got to get this solidified. Chris, we got a big Friday coming up this week. You got two guys running the controls that don't have a whole lot of technological savvy.
Well, you know what, though? All things considered, not just me, but this whole operation. I mentioned on the air, on the live show today, that last week was our preseason, and I think we went 2-0. I think we did a pretty good job.
So this is the regular season now?
Hey, Matt pumped it up, said we're full board this week of West Virginia. So we got, you know, he said double barrel. So we're, that's for the next week as far as the games. But
we got two or three barrels operating this week with John Marshall.
The one thing we've always bragged about is our depth. So it's going to get tested. It's going to get tested heavily this weekend as I'll be out. Hopefully Luke Doyle with me can help with the controls. But I'm getting that down pretty good. I just worry about one glitch there that we're missing that we can't figure out. If we can get the coordination between you and I set, I think we'll be good. It's the getting set up making sure that the people can hear us. That we can hear each other, potentially maybe the sideline if the other fella goes with us. So
yeah, I mean, and Job's giving me a crash course. I kind of observed him on last Thursday, and then Friday he put me behind the desk and he put me in front of the board, and he was very patient, very very good teacher. And then after we did radio today, we spent about 45 minutes just reviewing. And I think my biggest concern is, well, two, is just getting everything set up prior to going live with Matt and his pregame, and then you and I being able to communicate and try to get that down. I mean, it's probably not going to be perfect to start, but it's a work in progress. But we'll manage.
Well, and your issue too is that you work on Friday till 4:30, so it'd have been nice if you could be down here like at 4 o'clock and get situated, but you're going to come in and we're going to be
right.
We're going to be on a sort of a time crunch. So I'm hoping that Bob Slatter can help us, you know, also
get. Well, Jubb did mention that maybe he could just get that right computer screen up and running prior to me getting there, because I think I got it down pretty good as far as the broadcasts and when to run ads and how to do it and all that. So we'll just see. I'm just going to have to take a deep breath and hope for the best, but we'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
It's not rocket science. I mean, it's like anything. You do it more in repetition, and you know, hopefully by week three, I'll be an expert.
Do you think the same will apply when O'Neal Cruz moves to center field and gets the repetition?
I'm betting on me more than him.
I am too.
I am too. That's just, I mean. How much time we got to talk about them?
Well,
we could go on and on forever, Matt.
We'll get into it here whenever you're ready. But again, welcome in 123. Hard to believe that's the episode that we're on right now. Big week. Congrats to Soup and Sammy getting married this week. So let's get that out of the way right now. Yeah. Lots of pressure. The guys are heading down there here tomorrow. And we'll miss them on Saturday at the Pine Room, but that's okay. They're going for a good reason, and we wish them the best, and hopefully they have a wonderful time, and the weather is good, and everything goes off without a hitch, just like our high school football Fridays here with the Pine Room and the Watchdog. So we're excited. We got a huge week. Mountaineer football, Pirate baseball, yippee. Coach, what are you hearing on the weather at the Pine Room? That's what people need to know.
It's a little iffy right now. I think the heat is going to break down a little bit on Saturday, maybe a high of like low to mid 80s, but very good chance of thunderstorms. They're saying right now. But they also said that for the Brewfest.
That was almost going to be the end of the Ohio Valley. That storm was coming in.
That Brewfest was definitely going to get washed out. And literally, we didn't see there was a small little rain as they were setting up, and then it never rained another drop the rest of the day. Never rain a drop. So hopefully we'll get it in Saturday, but we'll you know, the pop up thunderstorms. That's the mantra.
You know, and I think and Matt, and you know this because you spent a good bit of time with old Champ, is you just been better to call him and ask him how his leg's feeling with that.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's got a titanium rod in there. Yeah,
and when it bothers him, that means rain, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
stiffens up on it.
It can't be any worse.
No. I think he's right. Should have been a weatherman.
Because people were altering their plans for that brew fest.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think it hurt their crowd, too. They said their crowd was a little bit down from last year, and I think that's just because
you're right, Coach, because even though they kept pushing it back as far as the weather, because, I mean, it was supposed to rain I don't know what time, but I'm sure a lot of people were going to wait and see if the weather was going to and then they probably figure, well, as soon as we get there then it's going to rain, so let's not even bother. And it ended up being a beautiful,
it was incredible. Yeah, it was unbelievable, but it is what it is. So back to that, Matt, I'm hoping it holds off. We'll miss a handful of guys in opening day, which you hate to miss them, but we'll get through it. And a couple big games. I'm actually, you guys know, I get pretty pumped up for college football. Nick gets me wound up. He'll be ready to go. The Mountaineers kick it off. A couple other decent games at noon. Clemson, Georgia. Georgia's at noon also. I think a couple other decent ones. And then I think you got Miami plays at 3:30, right?
Yeah, 3:30 for Miami.
They play Florida and then Notre Dame A&M late. So but all of them have lines, so they're all they're all interesting.
You still feeling good about the Mountaineers?
Yeah, but not as...
A lot of people are on them, which would worry me a little bit.
That worries me. Yeah, and that worries me. And I don't know. I do like Ohio State, though. That's one of my better plays.
But how many of those people that are on them? Like, because Soup's a, Soup's a guy that seems like he's always betting with his heart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, so
really?
How many people?
You don't think he's realistic about the Steelers?
Steelers
and the
are going to go. Last year. They'll win a minimum of 15 games, probably.
Oh, that's right, because what did he say on the way back from Cleveland into Mountaineers? You went through the schedule?
Oh, Arizona, win. At Arizona, win.
you went down and he said, yeah, Arizona, oh, we'll win that one.
Like, easy win.
Yep. Let's welcome Jeff into the program. Jeff joins us.
Sorry, guys.
We are now a quartet now.
I like that shirt, Jeff. That's
he's looking styling and profiling.
Very summery.
They make me do shit I don't want to do, fellas. That's just pretty good. Well,
but that's I bet you can't wait to get home and get shorts on.
Yeah, that would be a good feeling.
On a general basis, though, on a daily basis, I bet you love to get home.
I'd like to be home, period.
amen to that.
Actually, I don't care if it's clothes or no clothes. I just want to be out.
Right, yeah.
How's everybody doing?
Everything's great. Everything's great.
Sorry about that out of county meeting that I had to attend very quickly. It was quick and simple. So
Was my buddy Don Tennant on that meeting?
He was. Yes, he was. He was with Mr. Randy Russell.
Okay, everything good at the...
Quick and sweet,
that's
great.
That's what you like.
I like when they do the Zoom calls. It makes things very accessible.
That's one of the good things from the COVID days, in my opinion, the Zoom calls. That has been a huge, huge, huge upgrade in the world of business. It's so much better than having to go waste time in a room with a bunch of people, and then you got some dumbass that's going to ask a question
when the meeting's ready to end.
Yeah. At least I can multitask and I can do other things now. It is such a huge, huge help. So
I remember that back in the day, would be in a faculty meeting and everybody wants to get out and some moron will just rate and ask just them.
And
it takes up like time because they
long
they,
answer.
Yeah.
They have to feel important.
There's a lot of people like that.
Honestly,
you're right.
There's not most times. most times it's not relevant. It's just
right.
And we've probably all been in that situation. There's been times where I actually have a question that I want to ask, but I won't do it. I'll follow it up with either my boss or whoever's running the meeting. I'll do it so I don't fuck everyone else's day up
and
delay them. It's not worth them having to sit there and answer it in front of everybody because it may only pertain to a couple of us.
And it's not even you so much that it's the people that. You know what they're going to say when you ask that question.
Yeah.
Well, you know why, Matt? Because you are self-aware.
That helps a little.
What else he has? Common sense. Which helps a little bit.
And it always seems like it's that one person that you don't really like that person.
Right.
It just not this fucking asshole.
They like to hear themselves talk.
Yeah.
Well, actually, to take it one step further, not necessarily, and you're not wrong, but it's always the same caliber of person. It's a very cookie cutter individual, and you could probably go down the list of the people know that are that cookie cutter individual.
I'm thinking of them right now.
There you
a few
go,
of them. Mm-hmm. At least
That's
three
it.
Or four.
So, Jeff, before you came in, we were talking a little college football. What's your take on your Irish this Saturday?
I'm very real, as you
guys
know. Yeah,
you are.
Reverse that fucking line, make us an underdog, and take it.
So I like the Irish in the game.
Excuse me, make us a favor.
I think it should be favored.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I don't know how, I mean.
Texas A&M's 12th man never won shit.
And they're making that to be a big deal. It's a new coach. Now, what I will say, Denbrook knows, obviously, our quarterback very well. So, I mean, that's one thing, but... I don't know. I think from a talent level, I
don't think it's close.
I'm thinking double digits too. I really am. Maybe I'm crazy.
Well, the 12th man, Chris, the impenetrable 12th man. They never lose. Yeah. They win multiple national championships. They're always in the playoffs.
Yeah. Always.
What can you say?
We had Jimbo Fisher. I know he's not, but he did a great job with them.
Yeah. He's still making millions sitting
forever
at home.
And good for him. Whatever.
Right.
What a life.
So A&M is a slight favorite.
Three.
Taking some A&M money because of that 12th man. A&M and West Virginia, the big steam on those two teams this week so far.
Oh, wow.
Because it went from the Penn State game went from 13 to 9, is that what it
was? Well, it was 10.5 for most of the summer. It opened like way back around 12 or 13, but it quickly went to 10, and then it held at 10 almost the entire summer until the last 2 weeks. And in the last 5 days or so, it's now gone down to 8.5.
Wow.
See, that's wild to me.
Yeah. I don't know what people know. People are so fearful of Franklin, but to me, West Virginia is not what I would classify as a top caliber opponent. So I mean, Penn State is really good on defense. Now their offense has a lot of question marks. So if the Mountaineers could score early, Coach, you said it the other day on the radio. If they could score early and stay in the game, crowd builds, they'll have a shot of hanging around.
Right.
But if they give up a, if they turn it over early and Penn State gets them, like a defensive score sets up something for them, if Penn State gets in the lead and plays the lead, the Mountaineers won't beat them.
They'll be in trouble. So, Matt, now you, I heard you giving a stat last week, I believe, and this was the, I believe, NFL preseason maybe. And this is what my question, you said that the when the juice moved to whoever team the moved to, they went like 2-9.
It was incredible. The line moves in favor of those teams. It was the opposite side you wanted in almost all those games.
Now, isn't usually the smart money the money that moves the, or is it the public money that moves the line?
No, well, it's the smart money that usually moves the line, because if it's a respected person that's betting, then you're more likely to say, okay, maybe my number's a little bit off here. If Champ's coming in and throwing down money, then you're like, oh, well.
$1.50.
Yeah, well, even if you were going to give him $5,000 to bet on. I mean, you're gonna know that, like, he's probably not gonna have great inside info or any tips or anything. So yeah, normally sharp money does. But what I think could be going on a little bit with these preseason games is obviously you have the personnel that you don't know who's gonna play, but you may have some market manipulation going on there where guys are playing it one way and running the number another way and then coming back and getting it. And a lot of those pro contingents will do that. It's kind of, the word's out on that stuff. You can't do it as easily in a regular season game because the information in the lines are a lot tighter, so it's a little bit harder to move it when you got so much money in the pool. But you can move vastly because you're not getting a ton bet into in those preseason games.
Did the books do fairly well in preseason, you think?
Well, the unders were good because people always want to bet the over. So when they were on that huge under run, yeah, that was absolutely good. And then, yeah, you just get people betting their favorite team and just dumb money. They don't really have a clue about what's going on. Yeah, they do so. A lot of good, really good sharp players, though, do well in the preseason, which you wouldn't expect, but they could get that the coach basically tells them the game plan. So you have an advantage there. But the numbers didn't dictate that this time. So I'm not sure if there was some, like I say, some market manipulation going on there and the people betting hard one way to move a number and then smashing it back the other way. So, I mean, we did okay on it. The unders are the huge thing. That's the one that wins out for us pretty much any time of year in any sport. Under is the winning formula for us.
Do you think it'll take them a week or two to really hone in on the lines right where the books want it?
Yeah, this with the transfer portal, the rosters, the turnover, it is impossible.
Right.
I've heard different guys who are either bookmakers or guys who are, you know, tout magazines, think Brad Powers, these kinds of guys, they all making their own numbers. I mean, I'm seeing 15-25 point differences in their power rating numbers, necessarily in a spread, but in their power rating numbers. So it tells you guys just don't know, like, what's quarterbacks going to fit in with teams like Miami Hurricanes. No one knows how they're going to be. They have some talented pieces, but can they put it all together? I have no idea. So people have them very high. Other people have them very low. The same thing happened with Florida State last week. They got a lot of attention that they probably weren't worthy of. People had this false imagination that all of a sudden Florida State's going to be pissed off from last year, and they got a quarterback who's been around for 5 years and hasn't really been very good. And people fall into that trap. I mean, that was a monster winner for the books at that Florida State. I mean, every person in the world had them.
Yeah.
And money line parlays and then laying points. But to answer your question, yes, it's going to take a little bit. NFL, you'll have a much tighter line right out of the chute. You know how those are. Those are coming down to the very end. There might be one game a week that was a cigar smoker either way. As we looked at it last year, it would be like you'd have maybe one game early, and then a lot of times not even any at 4 o'clock, but like you'd have one game the week, like the Bills would win 40-6 or whatever, one game a week that was the line didn't come into play. Every other game it was always in. But the college is going to take a while. There's so much unknown information out there. Who's going to play? These coaches, they hide their game plans more than ever before because there's so much pressure on them. But you do also have the other element there is that the coaches know about the point spread. So do the players. Guys are commenting. I mean, you got guys out commenting on spreads of the games this week, saying, oh, they're giving us way too many points. Like, so you got to figure how that plays in. No, you never did. And it's getting, and even though the universities say you should not talk about it, even though it's legal, we are not allowed to discuss that kind of stuff because then it gives a thought that, well, these guys could be involved in some strange shenanigans. But, yeah, a lot of questions in college sports across the board. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Do they get their hands slapped for that?
supposed to, but then again, what do they get their hands slapped for
you
these
know what
days?
They don't,
I mean,
right?
they can yeah. beat people up and do whatever they want and spit on them and whatever.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead. No, when you talk about, like, do these guys even have to go to class anymore? Is there, like, a requirement?
I've never
GPA?
Heard student athlete used in a while.
No, yeah. You know what? You're right. That kind of term has went away a little bit, hasn't
like,
it?
Why?
Yeah, it's probably fair that it did.
Why, you know, if a kid's making $2 million a year in NIL money,
well, there's
got to
be some requirements they have to.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the same.
I'm sure
but I'm sure it's all online and easy stuff.
So, like, a kid from Germany or Japan can do their assignments for them by logging in on
pretty much
on the thing. Hey, here you go. Right. I'll give you some NIL money.
Wouldn't it be interesting to hear some stories about these guys
in class? Oh, yeah.
And how they pawn their work off on people.
It would probably be infuriating.
What about North Carolina with that whole when Roy Williams was there? They had all those people taking tests for him. And that was before it got the way it is now. Think about it now.
Roy played dumb.
Oh, yeah. That's what Roy he was good dumb. At.
Dessert is an essential part to a quality life, and quality desserts make life all the more better. Had a long day at work and you need something sweet? Maybe you're out late and you need the perfect snack to cap off your evening. Or you're just a dessert lover with a knack for the finest of sweet treats. Well, say hello to the Brownie House, home of the best brownies ever. A family bakery dedicated to baking the world's best gourmet brownies, baked with premium imported chocolate, high-quality ingredients, and no preservatives. No prepackaged, pre-made, fake-tasting chocolate, no. These brownies are made from scratch, shipped nationwide, and delivered right to your door. And starting right now, you can head to yesbrownies.com and use the code PINEROOM, all caps, during checkout to receive 20% off your order. For the best brownies and more, take a trip to the Brownie House.
Roy was good.
Well, if anybody's reading our blogs, that's what's going to be coming out from mine is online classes. I think mine's due Friday.
Yep.
You already have it?
Yep.
I don't know why. That perturbs me a little bit. I just think it's just taken away so much of the student experience that we allow these kids to take full-time classes online.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck is that? That makes no sense
to me.
Are
there some kids that take
100%
classes
all online.
Yeah,
I mean, you think about
so they can just stay home and
you never see
never have to see the inside of a classroom. And the other problem that I have with that is I blame it twofold. And actually, Matt, it was funny because I was going to rescind that because I wanted to add a couple more things to it. I think it's an institution problem. I think it's probably more of a parental problem because at the end of the day, what are you teaching your kid that you can just sit at home? What happened to the interaction? What happened to the college experience of going into a classroom?
That was the more important part.
One of the important parts. And then the other thing is, like I put in there too, was – you know what? Most of these fucking young kids now can't look you in the eyes and have normal conversation.
No.
There's a cause and effect on why that's fucking happening, and i.e. they don't have to go fucking talk to anybody.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's so dumb. It's absolutely dumb. But I do one thing about the West Virginia game. Just to go around the room, what is the percentage of the student body that starts drinking on Friday night and doesn't quit till the game's over?
Well, and then there's a caveat to that too. Don't see the game. Don't see. Well, like they might be, they just can't see.
They might be present, but they don't see.
They're not seeing the game.
I bet the percentage is a decent percentage because I know with
that's
being
a good
new
question.
Game, I bet that percentage is decent because you're going to have your jack offs that start on Friday and go, oh, I'm going all day.
It's be like 92%.
Yeah, right.
They'll probably sleep during the game.
Yeah, that's
and then
what I mean.
At dinner time, they're out partying again.
Oh, absolutely.
Who won the game?
Yeah.
Honestly, what would it take for you guys to go down there to that game? If they gave you free tickets, free booze, free food.
Oh, I'd go.
And a parking space, you'd go.
Yeah.
I would not go nearly any circumstance short of them paying us like $1 million to go down.
Crowds like that, I'm done. I don't.
Here's the deal, Chris. I would be on your sentiments. If it wasn't for such a big Notre Dame game and if Notre Dame was playing Schleprock, I would probably maybe be into it. But I agree. Nowadays, man, like going to games if it's outside of the Irish.
Would you go if the Irish played down there?
Yes. That would be interesting.
Yes. Yeah, that you'd have to exercise patience. I tell you that with the fucking morons you'd be dealing with.
Did you go to the game down there? That was years ago.
Did not.
I went to that.
But I tell you what's funny about that. I went to, and I can't remember who it was. I went to the game after, And I wore, and I was young. I mean, Christ, but that I was probably like in my teenage, like early teenage years. And I wore something Notre Dame, just didn't know any different. And I tell you what, I got the fuck beat out of me as a young kid.
I had the same experience.
That's
what I'm saying. Brutal, man. And I'll be honest, I didn't have much of a backbone at 12. So fuck, man, I didn't know what the fuck
you
was
were taking your ass beat.
I was like, man, oh man.
Yeah. They're very mean. But yeah. That's like at a lot of places. No, and it's even worse now. Look at these NFL games. They're beating people to brain damage in a preseason game.
Did you see the guy that got
there was two games. There was the 49ers and Raiders, and then what was the other
game?
What was the other one?
The other one is the one I'm talking about.
Playing. I'm trying to think of who the hell was playing.
He got knocked the fuck out. But did not spill his beer.
No, he didn't.
Oh,
yeah,
he got hit like five times.
What team was that?
I don't know.
I can remember he held it up the whole time, man.
But the Raiders San Fran thing, man, was there was a lot of bloodshed.
Guy was bleeding everywhere. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Well, I mean, it's worth it to get in a good fight over your team. I mean, what's more important in life than your team winning? I mean, really. You know, if your team loses, it's like the end of the world.
Yeah, you should be able to call off work.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, basically, you just want to
and not only that, it's worth it for a preseason game.
Yeah, right.
Well, and then it's neat because if your team beats another team, to beat another guy up, I think it proves that your team's not only your team's better, but you're better,
more superior.
Yeah, you're more superior. Yeah. So I'm all behind the fighting and the debauchery in the stands. I think it's.
Did you guys see the MGM the other day? There was a big fight in the MGM. Five dudes picked a fight with a guy that they obviously didn't know was a former UFC guy, and he beat the fuck
good. That's enjoyable to see.
Yeah, it is.
Beat the piss out of him. Yeah.
But I've seen some of those videos, and usually it revolves around the NFL, where the guy's lady will start the fight.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. He's got to come to her defense, and he gets the fuck knocked out of him.
They're knocking out women now. Yeah. I mean, you saw that last year.
Well,
that happened multiple times, where guys just absolutely unloaded on these women and just blasted them between the eyes and knocked them out unconscious.
Because, I mean, they can cuss and yell and throw beer and swing. Well, if a lady's going to get involved in that, I mean, you get what's coming.
Do you think guys that get in these fights, and do you think they're looking for trouble?
Absolutely.
Or do you think they're pissed because their team lost?
I think they're looking for trouble, but they're probably a little bit mad too.
And then the booze, obviously,
because it doesn't. Yeah, the booze.
The booze doesn't help.
No, that escalates. That's like pouring gasoline. Oh. It's like Malice at the Palace. I mean, those guys coming out onto the floor trying to fight NBA players.
And these tough guys leaving the stadium. Anybody looks at them, just happens to look at them, then they think they're looking at them the wrong way. You know,
shocking how many people like that exist.
And
when I was younger, like even to college. You maybe knew two or three guys that were missing something up top that would like smash their head through a wall or be in a bar fight all the time. Now they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Every guy wants to fight. Every guy wants to cause trouble.
And because they're such diehards, they're dickheads as well. But most often times, the guy has a game jersey on.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it.
Always has the game jersey.
I'm going to say 100% of the time.
It's damn near close to being 100%.
Yeah, like, honey, I got to get my,
And his entire closet's probably full of like 15, 25 jerseys.
Obviously, when you were younger, you might have had game. Have you ever had one like since you were like an adult?
No.
Chris, have you?
Like a game jersey?
Yeah, like a game jersey with Chubb on the back or Kozar or...
No. I mean, I'd had to been a little kid.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Adult. No.
I tell you this much, back to this, and this is going to sound like such a chauvinistic dick statement, and everybody that knows me knows that I'm the furthest thing from that. But if you take your wife to a game and you know what your wife had, if you know that your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, significant other, excuse me, has that in her, then I'll be honest with you, that's kind of on you.
Has what? Huh?
Escalate a problem.
Like at the end of the day, that you know that whatever, if she has a few adult beverages and this is the way she gets just in the backyard, and you take her and put her into an element like that, I hate to say it, I put the blame on you.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And not that the man should control the woman. That's not what the fuck I'm
saying.
Getting at. But I just think at the end of the day, you're putting yourself in the situation where you're going to have to go to bat for your wife and get the fucking piss beat
out of you. Right.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
Well, it's like the lady that was sticking her hand in the tiger pen today that we were talking about. That's her fucking fault if her arm gets ripped
off.
I
would agree.
And, like, and I don't feel sorry for them.
Matter of fact, it should get ripped
off. Yeah, I was hoping that it did. I was hoping that it did.
And she'll probably sue the zoo because the fence went 9 up.
And when the tiger grabbed the one guy down in Florida, they shot the tiger.
Yeah.
No, don't kill the tiger. Kill the guy.
Exactly.
The world has a lot more of those guys that need to be eliminated than tigers. Like, that's the bigger problem.
I would agree with that. Idiots like us.
And when you mentioned common sense, you're right, Mark. They'll say, well, the fence wasn't high enough. There weren't enough signs.
There wasn't a security guard around. Like, I didn't know that was dangerous.
Yeah.
Who knew Bengal tigers and Malaysian tigers
were
dangerous?
I know.
Huh.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, they deserve it. 100% they deserve it. Eliminate the weak. Fucking have
all
those dumb fucks.
Yes, I'm good for that.
Yes.
Chris, what do you got on the docket today? What do you want to talk about? What do you want to get off your chest?
Well, when we talked about it this afternoon on the radio, we didn't have Coach in with us, but I wanted to get his take on the Pirates. we spoke about him Monday, the debacle that they had, whoever they played on, against the Reds, the one game that they did lose. And when you didn't think it would get worse, and last night's game when they got bludgeoned by the Cubs. And
by the way, I bet that game under.
Oh my lord!
18-6.
Well, I thought Mitch Keller was coming off as the best outing he's had since the All Star break.
But that was against who? Seattle.
I think it was against Seattle. Hit. Yeah, go ahead,
okay,
Chris.
Sorry. Oh no, because you know you're an old school guy, you coach baseball forever, you respect the game, and I just thought that last night was an absolute debacle. No, just the way they played the game, the way it was managed by Shelton. I just thought I thought he should have been fired immediately after that game.
I just can't imagine right now what their locker room is like. I can't imagine. I mean, they got a revolving door now with guys getting sent down, guys being brought up, guys that have no business being in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. These guys that are quality players for the Pirates, which aren't many, but have to be saying, what is this Herman? What are we doing putting him out there on the mound?
What do you think Skeens thinks?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I just...
Poor guy.
I want to go home to Livy Don.
Yeah, get me out of here.
Literally, you can't even... We could talk forever about how... the issues that they have right now. It's so bad. It's just the whole thing from Nutting down to Shelton, down to their players, and the fans just keep coming out and just watch this misery. How can, and you know, I feel Jarrett's a diehard. He works for him. He puts his heart and soul in it, and he's out there, and he was so excited when they were like one game out, and even him, who just never says, hey, he's had it.
He seemed like a beaten man to the last couple days.
This is not acceptable. He said, this is embarrassing to be now. You know, tomorrow night or something, he's gonna have to run around with the rally flag. They're getting beat 18 to goddamn 8 or something. It's like, it's awful.
Well, did you did you stay away? I'm sure you probably did.
Oh shit! No.
But it's a joke. It's an absolute farce that Rowdy Tellez pitches twice in 3 days or twice in 4 days.
I heard Cooley say they'll have to shut him down now. He won't be able to throw tonight.
His arms hurt.
But when he got the ball, it's like
45, I heard you say.
But the minute he got the ball, he just pitched it. Like, he's not, because he had runners all. He just pitched.
That is embarrassing.
And he was like, you know what? It would be like when your kids were 10 or 12 and you went to the ball field and you just tossed them the ball and have them hit it. It was just lobbing it in there. I'm like, this isn't professional baseball.
It isn't. And 8 stolten bases.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. Not believe. And they weren't even making attempts, Stephen.
No.
And then here's the deal. I got to put a little bit of blame on Keller.
Little bit. A lot.
To the plate was slower than me.
A lot.
And then they didn't even try to throw get him out.
And listen, the Cubs studied that, too. They knew exactly what his looks were and how his you know, everything was the same. They had them down pat. I mean, they had them exactly what they wanted to do.
And I'm glad you brought up Rowdy Tellez, because I'll be honest with you, and I know he's not a pitcher, and I get that, but you were still getting paid millions of dollars. Did you hear on the first night he lipped to I don't know who he lipped it to, he wasn't covering first base?
Oh, he said that?
Oh, wow.
He lipped it and said, I'm not covering.
He said that?
Yes.
That's so, like, where they are.
But I mean,
loser, and that's what they bring in, losers.
How does that even work? Like, I know that that's not your position. I get it, and I respect that you're a bigger dude. But fuck, like you said, what's going on in the locker room okay for that to be said?
Oh, my God.
And Jeff, it's funny you say that, because he pitched that like with that mindset. Like, he didn't even try to throw it kind of fast. It was just like, I'm going to lob it in there. And like I mentioned it on the radio. If you're the Cubs, like, are you kind of like, this is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, like,
I'm going to go in there and fucking keep hitting and score 25.
They shouldn't. Yeah. They should. Uh-huh. And they should keep running.
Yes.
They should have kept running.
We'll see what they do tonight. That's going to be interesting.
And who's pitching? Like, Jared Jones.
Jared Jones. And he's coming off.
But, you know, another thing, and I shouldn't say I'm tired of hearing about this. There's such a small sample of this guy. They act like he's like a sure shot, bona fide number two starter.
After his first four or five starts, he was very, very good. Yeah. But you could see him. He definitely.
I mean,
went
they fucking
downhill.
Act like, well, Christ, we got the three. We're gonna have the three best pitchers in the league go once in a couple years with Skeens, Keller, and Jones. I'm already sold on Skeens.
Here's the thing that about the old school guys, and you hate to going back to that. The Maddoxes, the Smoltz, the Bob Gibsons, the Nolte. They could go all year long without losing what they had at the beginning of the year because they were tough. They weren't brought up as a bunch of pussies. Mm-hmm. Yep. They would throw 110 pitches. They didn't have to worry about their pitch count and all this other bullshit. They just went out and threw, and they were tough. They were grinders, man. They would hit you if you bat flipped. There was no all this now. It's just such a bunch of pussies. That's all it is.
And you can't really blame the pitchers.
No, it's all coddled. They're all coddled.
And these, I don't know, these, what's it called? Analytics.
It's a joke. It's a joke. I mean, these old school guys, they have to be laughing at this, the way these pitchers are now. That's just,
well, you know, back in the day, Mark, in the 60s and the 70s, even maybe up into the 80s, a lot of times, and I remember the Oakland A's, and I remember it was in the 80s, and I forget some of their pitch, but Billy Martin, I mean, I think all three, four guys, I mean, just pitched an outrageous amount of innings. But a lot of times it used to be a four-man rotation.
That's all it was. Four-man rotation.
Those guys.
And complete games. I'd like to get the stats on complete games back then compared to.
How many have we had this year?
Well, I think the Pirates have two. Question. I think the Pirates
have
two.
Less than a dozen?
I thought Mitch Keller went a complete game, and then.
It wasn't Skeens.
No, Skeens hasn't.
Maybe Fowler? I don't know.
I thought one more. I thought they had two. But here's the other. Scott Goodnight, and I talk about this all the time because, he just hates the way the game's played now. If those guys would bat flip on Bob Gibson or Nolan Ryan, or they'd put it in their ear hole.
Absolutely.
They would literally, it wouldn't be in their back. They'd put it in their fucking ear hole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now.
I wish that would happen.
These guys did bat flip like these cocky bastards do now, they would be they wouldn't want to come up the next time. I'm telling you, they wouldn't. And that's
or you're the fucking guy batting after the fucking guy.
Right. Yeah, and you're gonna get it. You're going to get it.
Because the pitcher's pissed off, and then so he's going to hit the next guy, and that's you.
But back to the Pirates. It's really a sad situation that they put everybody in. And I said this before. I said the people that suffer are the fans. Mm-hmm. We've given up so much time and energy and money and fun and everything else, and they continue to just not give a shit.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
They literally don't, and it's an old. We're beating a dead horse. We know that. We've talked about it every night, but it's just to me. You still talk about it because it's there, and they deserve to be beat on.
Mm. Absolutely,
they do. They do. They deserve
professional sports team to operate the way they operate from top to bottom.
There's nothing good in their operation, and there's not one good thing.
Not one commendable quality other than Paul Skeens is the only thing they have that's positive. Just one guy. That's it.
Do you think
everything else is horrible?
Do you think the Major League Baseball needs to step in, though? I mean, don't you agree?
Absolutely.
I wish.
That the product needs to
absolutely
get better. If you want baseball to become America's sport again, you got to make sure that every team is at least competitive and make a good product
absolutely
on the field. So Major League's got to come in at some point in time and say, hey, what are we doing?
I've been saying that for a long time.
Manfred has the perfect opportunity now. You have the best pitcher in baseball now in a market that the owner doesn't give a shit. They got bad management. They got a bad manager. They got a bad roster. Their payroll's pathetic. So, I mean, if there's ever a time to step in, this is the time. You want your best players to be showcased. Ohtani's in L.A. now. I mean, you have some star power in some big cities. Atlanta's a great baseball city. They got Acuna. Now the Pirates are going to ruin this for everybody. They have an opportunity to grow the game here, and they're not going to do it. Because you think Nutting's going to put in any extra money of his own? No way. He just doesn't care about winning. I don't think the guy's ever competed in anything in his life.
I bet sometimes he doesn't even know if they win.
No, I bet he no.
I bet he's home in bed and he's probably watching a movie or something. Yep. And
I mean, he doesn't know the rules of baseball.
He might get up in the morning and wonder how they did.
Gets it in his own paper and reads it.
He doesn't even care.
I don't think he cares at all.
But maybe I'm dumb. Maybe I'm not smart enough to figure this out. And I understand that maybe you don't want to keep on going in the hole personally in your own pocketbook. But isn't the concept the more money you spend, the more money you're going to make?
Absolutely.
So yeah, at the end of the day, cares. If you put a good product on the field,
that sell out every night.
Yeah. Your beers. I mean, everything comes hand in hand with that. I guess I don't understand that concept.
When they were winning there for that stretch, they were almost selling out every night. And then you're guaranteed to sell it when Schemes pitches.
Yeah.
And then they have so many promotions, that pretty much sells out to Fridays with fireworks. Then bobbleheads sell out almost every game. I mean, you're right, Jeff. If they would, it's common
sense. But the sad thing is, though, other than when Skeens pitches, or if they have like a high profile team coming in, like the Yankees, you shouldn't have to rely on the promotion. Gimmicks. You should just have a good enough product to say, because when in the fuck's the last time any of us said, August 1st, fireworks. Let's get a group to go.
Right.
Joey Bart bobblehead. Fuck that. I just want to go see quality baseball. Yeah,
and I tell you what, we went up on Mother's Day, Patty, myself, and Job Jarrett. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the park. Is incredible.
It is incredible.
We got a decent parking place. We stopped at the burger place. What's Burgatory?
Burgatory.
Here's the thing you got to understand. Doesn't matter if you're Pittsburgh. You're going to spend money.
Without a doubt.
That's the bottom line. Now, are they screwing us? Absolutely. But you know it. If you're going to go, you're going to spend it, so enjoy it. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly, and I would... I hate the traffic and all that, but I enjoyed the game, and I would go back.
Especially if you're only going up 1 to 2 times a year.
Right,
You don't mind spending that money 1 to 2 times a year.
Exactly.
So I would agree with that. It's just it's shameful. It really is. And Pittsburgh being such a big sports town, that you know what I mean? I mean, you think about how big a Steeler fans are. Back in the day, there were so many red-blooded Pirate fans. You think you'd want to bring back that camaraderie to the
Absolutely.
City, too. I mean, I don't know. I just don't get it. I really don't.
And Pittsburgh, you can say that they're a football town, but I'm telling you, when their baseball team is good back, it's a baseball town. They love the Pirates. Pittsburgh loves the Pirates.
Mm-hmm. When you win up there, it doesn't matter what sport.
You're right. You're 100%
place,
right.
They're not afraid to turn on you in a heartbeat.
Well, that's anywhere.
That's everywhere.
That's everywhere.
Right, that is. But and I just another thing, we could talk forever, but it annoys me that every goddamn game you just wonder, who's starting in right field tonight?
It's incredible.
Who's going to be at first
place? Connor Joe was hitting cleanup last week.
He's hitting fifth tonight.
Yeah.
Now, how can you have Connor Joe hitting fourth or fifth in your lineup in a professional?
And that's the thing, Mark. Like you, it's hard to take. Well, you can't take them seriously. Connor Joe is just a guy.
He's a fill-in player.
You mentioned maybe today about when I mentioned IKF or whatever. Yeah. Like he's just a journeyman, a spot player. Like that's what Connor Joe. Connor Joe shouldn't be starting.
No, maybe spot like every fifth or sixth day when they have to rest someone, of course, then he could play.
But to rely on that guy and they think he's going to hit 15 homers and knock in 80 runs, just when are they going to realize, look, this guy, okay, he's a nice guy. We don't need him. Let's get rid of him. Same with Triolo. And you could go on and on. We don't need these guys.
And watching G1 Bay play the outfield, first of all, if you're a coach at the major league level, you have to have some experience. You have to know talent. You have to know what the hell you're doing.
Yep.
And you to watch him and then watch Henry Davis in right field and say, listen, guys, this isn't going to work.
Oh.
I mean, these guys hit the ball and it comes off the bat smoking and it's going to go all different ways. They can't judge that. They're not experienced enough to do
it. So what do you think, and I don't know how the inner workings of a team management works, and we're like, Sherrington and Shelton and whomever, like, I wonder how that conversation went about Henry, like, hey, guys, I know maybe he's not right. Now, he's been catching his whole fucking life.
Right.
But now we're not sure he can catch it to major late. What do you think we should do?
Let's hide him in right field.
Right. And then
that's an easy place to play.
Then Matt says – Yeah, you know what? That's probably a good
That's
idea.
That's a great idea, Chris. I
and
like
then they,
that.
They walk out of thinking, boy, we
why'd we draft him number one overall as a catcher? Right. We weren't going to use him as a catcher.
Preposterous. Well,
Who do you think came up with the brilliant idea now to move O'Neill Cruz to the outfield?
Cooley said that 8 days ago they were quoted as saying he's our shortstop. Just end it there.
Jared said Charrington just said it.
Yeah.
Eight days ago he said it. He's our shortstop. Don't ask anymore. He's going to play shortstop.
He's our shortstop.
Right. Well, then now Jared said today on the radio, he said no.
He's our center fielder.
Is there any chance he plays short? He said no. He's our center fielder.
So who do you honestly, who do you think said, what do you say we're going to bring Rodriguez is, or Gonzalez, right?
Nick Gonzalez.
Nick Gonzalez is coming
back. Right.
Who do you think we could guys, who can we move to center field? Like, this is like Mustang or something. Like,
really ridiculous that we're even laughing about it and talking about it.
And I don't understand their infatuation with position
utility.
Utility
guys.
If you could play,
love them.
Aren't you supposed to have one utility guy on the
right,
team?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because if you're just okay at everything, you're not good enough.
You're a valuable player. If you're
as a bench player and you rotate around.
You're very valuable.
Right. Yes,
if you go down with an injury and you don't have much depth.
Yep.
But to have like four of them.
Yeah, and you play them in a different position every single day of the week.
And Mark, when we go back into the 70s, and there's two guys from the 79 team that I remember that could fill those roles, and they were very good players. Like Bill Robinson would play first.
Yeah,
and
he could play left field. Play left field.
Phil Garner could play, well, except first, because he wasn't a bit.
He could play second, third, and short. Yeah.
But normally he was playing second base. I mean, but hell, everybody plays everywhere.
It's
now.
Incredible.
They love that too.
Do you think that anybody checks Shelton at the door though? Like, do you think any players finally just go like knock on the door and be like, "Hey, coach, what are we doing?"
I'm wondering if he even has any say, Shelton. I mean, obviously in game maybe, but I don't know if he has any say. I think these decisions may come from above. He might not have any say in any of them.
Like Charrington says, or
whoever their player development, who is obviously doing a terrible job. Key Brian Hayes, complete failure. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Cruz is failing at shortstop. Yeah. But he really hasn't gotten enough time there. That's the Pirates' fault. You got the Henry Davis fiasco. I mean, come on. It's got to be on them at some point. The development, the management. Somebody is fucking these guys up and ruining their career and ruining the franchise.
Well, you sure see a lot of guys leave Pittsburgh and have success elsewhere.
It's really bad. We went through those a couple years ago in the playoffs. There was like seven guys starting in a playoff, like a high leverage playoff starter, and they were all former Pirates.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, I totally agree with what you say about that. Is anybody checking him? Because, well, when Mark said that, like, what's the locker room like?
Oh, God.
You know, you walk in, you get in the clubhouse. Oh, okay. Well, I was expecting to play wherever, but they got me out here tonight. And just like, when do these guys finally say, this is fucking nonsense?
Because here's the deal. They don't keep their fucking mouth shut about anything else.
Right.
You would think, though, that would be, since it is, like you said, they're wasting their talent, they're wasting the years in their heyday and stuff like that. You would think that eventually they would just get pissed off and knock on the manager's door and go, what the fuck are we doing here?
This is
why would McCutchen want to keep coming back and playing on this team?
Right, that's a great question, too.
It's an easy paycheck.
Well, right.
He's not even playing.
He's hurt.
Okay.
But, you know, I was reading in the comment section about last night's game, and the media doesn't ask this, but somebody suggested, like, at the post-game press conference, said they should ask him, Coach Shelton, give us a couple reasons why you feel you should be back for next year. And just to hear the bullshit he would say. That'd
be an interesting answer.
But here's the deal. He makes a lot of money.
Oh, absolutely.
Why can't he answer those tough questions?
Absolutely. He should.
I mean, I really do. I mean, I know those are tough questions, and I know people's livelihood and stuff like that. But here's the deal. There's no other fucking business out there that when you're in a leadership role like that you don't have to answer questions like that.
Well, unless you're Deion Sanders and you get the reporters removed from the fucking press conference.
That's unbelievable too, man.
Or Jim Justice.
Right, yeah. Censorship.
If somebody asks Shelton that question, Jeff, he may get banned from the post-game interviews.
Honestly,
they may say.
Oh, they would, too, the Pirates.
Well, that's a legitimate question.
Absolutely it is.
It's not a legitimate question.
Don't you think you could start with, you're going into the trade deadline, you're like a game and a half out of the wild card, you make two trades to upgrade your roster, and your team goes on an immense slide. How do you explain that? What went wrong? At the very least, he should be able to say that, even if you don't ask him why you should be or not be back next year. But what happened? How did you lose – control of everything that quickly.
Well, I think one thing that they referenced during that slide is I think six of those losses were one.
So
they played well.
Could have went either way, right? Darn. So shucks. We almost had him, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I know he's not blessed.
They'll explain anything. Yes. Those pirate media is terrible, too. They carry water for those idiots, and they explain away all the problems.
What column is in the win-loss tie? Is there a column that says we almost won?
One-run games.
We almost won. Yeah. Because that's what I want to be represented by. Yeah. I almost won. I almost did. Yeah.
They should put them in the playoffs anyway. You know, all those one-run games. The team that loses the most one-run games and doesn't qualify for the postseason should get in.
They had the most bad luck, so let's put them in.
Right. Yeah, it's not fair. Could have happened to anybody.
It's unbelievable.
It's just awful. It's like I said on the radio today, Mark, it's just like I watch them just to be amused because there's going to be at least one gaffe, two gaffes. I mean, just stupid shit. I might have been his first at bat. I think it was Cruz. Just took strike three right down the middle.
Literally right down the middle.
And then what in the fuck are you looking at?
And then the best part about it, he shakes his head afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Fooled him.
And the other one was, who played center last night? Was it Joe?
G1 Bay.
The play, honestly, the catching.
Dove?
Yeah, and actually didn't even really need to dive. And then he still fucking missed the ball.
Then he rolls around. Like,
he's like a kamikaze guy out there.
He's a 5'4" center fielder.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch Cruz in center field. If they put Cruz in center and Henry Davis in right, that would be, I might pay to go see that.
He might, like I said, he might crash into people. Because Cruz, like when
Reynolds, too. Yeah. Hit into both.
Yeah, right. I
wonder what Cruz's IQ is. I mean, I think he's very, very dumb.
He doesn't look focused. I mean,
no, he never looked focused, and I never, ever, ever thought Key Brian Hayes looked focused. I always thought he looked like he'd rather be fishing or rather be hanging out at the bar. Never thought he looked like he cared about playing.
But you know, when you think about it too, like when has he ever had a big moment on this team? And he's been there, what, 4 years now? He's never involved. He's always grounding into a double play or hitting a strikeout.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
nothing. And now he's not even available half the time. He's always hurt.
No, they need to part ways with him. But then again, you got to pay him.
Yeah.
And I don't think they want
to
do that.
Therein lies the problem, Chris. They're not going to pay a guy to sit around.
Mm-hmm. How many wins today? I heard you guys talking about it.
What did we say, 59? 61.
Are they at 61? I think they are at 61 because they won the two over the red.
So you need 15 wins?
Nah, I'm never. There's no way.
How many games are left? Yeah, about 40?
14.
14.
How many games are left?
They got probably 20-something because they got the Tribe next. Then they go to Chicago. Then I think they play the Nationals and Marlins. So what's that, four series? Then they play like Milwaukee. They end the year with like Milwaukee,
Cincinnati
again, St. Louis, and then the Yankees, I think.
Probably about
like
40.
35?
Yeah. You got what's rest of this? All September, what, like one week into October?
14 games is really going to be hard to get.
Especially playing teams that need them. Like the Cubs. Cubs smell blood.
Well, they play the Royals, too. Remember?
Oh, yeah,
we talked to Royals tracking down the Indians.
Now, Chris, it's football season. Get excited.
Yeah, that's even.
And you know what that is? And I know, Matt, you weren't as excited, but I talked to Jeff about this, that I was really pumped for Saturdays for the Pirates to still be in it. Football Saturday, and then you got the Pirates coming on at 6:40.
That would have been good.
In a meaningful game in a wild card,
card
hunt. And 3 weeks ago, it was like, we got a shot.
Well, I hope, which you talk about the media, they have what, tonight, and they got a day game. Like, if they win, say, three or four in a row, they'll start talking, they're still,
Well, they're
still
nine out now.
Yeah.
But they'll still talk about
against teams that they're going to have to jump teams they're going to be playing. It's almost at a point where they're going to be mathematically eliminated.
I did hear Greg Brown say the other day, and Jarrett was sitting there, and I was like, did he just say that? And he was talking about he was actually beating on Shelton.
They said Greg Brown's been in a real bad mood lately.
Oh, yeah. He said, what makes, because he was mad because Joey Bart was on hitting. He was a guy that was hitting. And Grandal was catching because Skeens was pitching. And he says, does Yasmani Grandal make Paul Skeens that much better of a pitcher that we take Joey Bart's bat out of the lineup? He literally said that. I looked at Jared. I said, I can't believe he just said that. Like
Greg might have got reprimanded.
That he's saying the exact right thing, but I can't believe he said it. Well, couldn't believe it.
They played 100. They played 131.
Yeah, on the broadcast, he said. Well, what makes does Paul Skeens a better pitcher when Grandal catches as opposed to having? Do we gain more by him catching than losing Joey Bart's bat?
Well, Matt, if he did get reprimanded, he didn't listen because he was pissed off. And I missed it, but I was reading on the comments saying he was kind of pissed off again. Nick Gonzalez, for some reason, tried to stretch a single into a double.
Yeah.
But I think that pissed him off. And it was because these commenters were like, man, Greg's really – he's really tearing into the Pirates.
And, you know, when they've been doing it forever and they're not, and to watch this, they fundamentally, they're so bad. Fundamentally, they're just incredibly bad. They always let runners move up 90 feet, throwing to the wrong base or overthrowing a cut man.
But just moving positions will solve all the problems.
And it's obvious that they don't practice bunting.
Oh, Jesus.
Not many teams probably do that.
Whatever.
131 games they've played so far.
So 31?
31
again. Oh, only 31. I got to win 14 and 30.
You're getting to the point where you're going to have to go 500.
That's not happening.
Yeah, tomorrow might be Skeens' last game.
Jeff, it's time to gear up for football.
Mark, when's the last time you've been in church? You better go say a prayer, fucker, because I'll be honest with you. That's
football.
Just keep on going with football now.
Here's what I do. All I got to do is listen to Nick.
You're good, then.
Nick got us off to a great start on Saturday.
So you guys want to make early money?
You guys want to recap that one? Nick gives out a 10-star on Florida State right out of the shoot.
Got beat outright.
Yeah, beat outright in
he
Ireland.
Said, but then he came back. He says, I'm betting him in-game minus 10 right now.
He really liked where they were at halftime.
Double loss. And then actually the best part of the conversation was aftermath going, okay, we got that out of the way.
Right. Well, it's only week zero.
Winners come next week.
Got it. I'm glad I got that out of my system because I'm
that's good.
Look out.
We purged ourselves, and now it's time to win.
The bookies better look out.
But one thing I've always given Nardone credit, he always puts his shit out there.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, he does. He puts
his optimistic
shit out there.
And well, his lopsided.
Meaning as in he'll let everybody know what he's betting. So the fact of the matter, when he loses, he takes it on the chin. Yeah. And he obviously accused somebody on that text message of not doing that. But it's very true. Nick will put his shit out there. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah, and he's not one of those guys that just tells you when he wins.
No.
Mm. You know, because you hear that a lot from guys. Not, maybe not in our group. But
he gives
guys.
You the winners before they play. So you know what he's got.
That's exactly right. Unbelievable. But I am looking forward to football. It'll be good.
And that's again, I know I bitch about football. And I guess just because I'm getting older and
you hate the officials, though.
Well, the game has changed so much. I think college football now is a cesspool, just with the NIL and the recruiting and the transferring and all that. And then their officiating sucks. And then you get to the pros, and Mark, you've said it 100 times. You got to hold your breath when a team does something good.
Yep,
guys are celebrating. I said, you better hold on here. Wait, because then the yellow thing comes across.
Yes, they take the fun out of it. I mean, and you know, and now another rule they put in that what's that hog tying or that new
that new tap that tack
hip drop
hip drop. You know, so that is so the and all these calls are subjective. Well, one ref won't call it, the other one will. I mean, it's terrible, and you know they don't. They're never. I mean, they don't seem to hold them accountable. And it just it ruins it for me.
And in the NFL, I'm telling you, you bet the NFL, you may as well just close your eyes and just pray because you jump out to a 17 point lead,
it's trouble.
You're better off to get down early.
No doubt about it.
All your bets are better off to be down early in the NFL.
No doubt about it. I agree.
Because the fourth quarter is you better hold on because it's.
That last hour of the 1 o'clock games,
good Lord.
There are so many things that go upside down there. You could be staring down the barrel 8-1, and all of a sudden it's 1-8.
Absolutely.
Like, that's how fast it can flip.
Rarely does it
and
go the other
it's
way.
It's always agonizingly horrible, too. Kick returns, punt blocked, and anything that can go wrong will. And you're right. It's always where I want to know where the guys are that have the right sides of these because it's never me.
No.
I never have the right side.
What's Scott, the guy in the red zone?
Scott Hansen.
What's he called? The bewitching hour.
Oh, witching hour. Yeah.
The witching hour.
Yeah.
The witching hour comes between
probably 3 and 4. Probably.
3 to 4 says the witch because everything changes. And it's tough. NFL is all.
Well, Jeff, are you a? I mean, if you had to give up one, would you give up? You'd give up NFL
100%.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Not even close. Actually,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I still like the NFL to watch, and it's probably more the gambling aspect. I faltered off. I do still do fantasy football, but I'll be honest, I don't really care about fantasy.
Well, you know what,
anymore.
Too, yeah. In your situation, but you know, you, well, sometimes or when your wife does have a day off, a lot of times it's Sunday, and so you guys. Do a family thing or whatever. Well, honey, I'd like to do this.
Want to watch Mike Tomlin?
I haven't seen you since Monday, but I'm going to watch the Steelers.
Exactly right.
Do you like? Do you think it's you like college because of the tradition?
I do. I think and I think it still lives out. I mean, obviously, it's changed so much. Like you guys are talking about, it's not like it once was. But I think the tradition carries.
Yeah.
Carries the love of it. And I know ESPN still ESPN, but like to know on Saturday morning that at game days with the game and all that stuff, that, there's a high to that.
Just
there
that, and then when the weather cools down, that's when it really gets, that's when it gets fun. And then Chris, you would say it when it gets dark at 5:30.
You know what? When at first, whenever we do, I'll be bouncing in my step down the hallway to come down here because I'll be happy. And if I have a hoodie on, that'll be even better.
Yeah. Well, it's coming.
It is coming. Right around the corner.
It's
coming. Right around the corner. That is so true.
Well, that's one thing about the Pine Room. I much prefer when it's cold up there than the few times we've been up there and it's 90 and then you can't get away from that sun. Yeah,
right.
So when are the bees usually hit? Like October?
They didn't die till like January last year.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, gosh, it's just awful. But,
Chris, what else you got on your chest? Anything you want to talk about?
No, Matt, I'm good. No, I got that off.
Jeff,
my chest.
Anything draw your interest this week?
Yeah. I do got one thing.
Please,
it happens.
Please indulge us.
Yes. So, obviously, I don't know if you guys have caught any of the news the last couple weeks with the whole Matthew Perry death.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on a cover.
Ketamine Queen.
Yes.
Time magazine or something was on the cover about it.
The fact of
I heard that they charged five people or something with his death.
And here's the deal. The bottom line, there's bad people in every profession, and there's bad people in the medical profession, and there's people that are obviously on the take, and they're all worried about their pockets, don't give a fuck about patient care, and it's just the reality. But when is there any kind of personal accountability? I mean, here's the deal. Matthew Perry obviously wasn't a dumb man. I mean, fuck, man, he made millions of dollars and this and that. How can these guys be, they didn't like make him take that pill or make him inject. Like, I don't understand. Like, they're going to charge these five people. And I would also imagine, now granted, this is where it does fall back on the medical community. You know, I'm sure Matthew Perry had some pull and also probably kind of strong arm these guys. Like, I'm having these problems and I need these drugs, and probably laid some fins down on the table to make sure that they got it. And now he's dead and these people are going to feel the repercussion. I don't know. I think it's kind of fucked up. I just want to see
what they charge him with.
I would say
probably some sort of manslaughter.
That's I couldn't think of the word. Yes. So I just want to hear you guys' opinion about that.
No, I tend to agree with you there. I mean, sure, they provide that for him regardless how he did. If he paid him, I mean, he's the one that ingested it or the drugs, whatever.
It was something that was a mistake and they gave him the wrong thing and it killed him, then that's a negligence thing to me. But in this case, it reminds me of when Michael Jackson was wanting that extra stuff from his guy, and the guy kept giving it to him, and you know, keep presenting the guy with money. And yeah, it might be a breach of the medical code, so to speak, but Matthew Perry struggled with this stuff for a long time.
He did.
He had a lot of issues. They found him near death a few times, had to resuscitate him. I think his personal assistant found him like shortly before he died this time. Like, it was, so he has a bad history of it. I'm with you. I think the personal responsibility goes on the person. If that person's willing to do that, push their body to that limit to where they can die, it's hard to blame someone else for it. But on the other side of that, I do think it's wrong in a lot of – this doesn't apply to this one, but there are a lot of people out there over-prescribing, putting things in people's 100%. Hands, getting them addicted. So maybe the people who are more at fault for this were whoever gave him his first start in this stuff, his first touch of it, taste of it, whatever you want to call it. That's what turned him into what ended up killing him. And the people now are just the suppliers, and I know people will blame them, but – There's a bigger problem, and I really truly do not believe, no matter if Trump was elected, Biden, Obama, Bush, I don't think it serves any interest for
any government leader to solve this problem of this over-medicating and people being able to get it, because there's way too much money that go into these campaigns from the pharmaceuticals, and they're killing people, and there's no benefit for them to sort this mess out. It is more beneficial to them for people to die, and they just don't care. Like, no one, they'll all run on it, tell you they're going to do something about it. It's not going to happen. No, there's too much money.
Too much lobbying,
too much power. And all these senators and so forth, they're all getting, if you ever go investigated about how these people make their money, you'd be sick. And a lot of people don't even pay attention to it, so they'll never be smart enough to know it. But our government has really let us down in that regard, and it's probably why people do die like that all the time.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, some of those drugs at the end of the day, like even the one with Michael Jackson, I mean, that was an intensive care drug. Like, you have to be on monitors, you have to be... So I can't believe that it's even given in a household setting.
Right.
I think it's negligent on a physician side to be able to prescribing those types of drugs. But I still think it's no different than, I mean, let's be honest, the four of us on a Saturday, probably on a Pine Room Saturday, probably indulge too much in alcohol.
Right.
And God forbid.
I'd say that's a fair statement.
God forbid we go home and we don't wake up the next day. Because, you know, we drank ourselves, quote unquote, to death. Is it Bud Light's fucking fault?
That's what I was going
to
say, right?
I mean, at the end of the day, we're the ones sitting there being fucking idiots and having fun and hooping and hollering, and we drank too much. I mean, it's a sad story, but at the end of the day, it's nobody else's fault but that individual.
That's a good point, Jeff.
And with the Matthew Perry thing, when does, or even if it was just a personal friendship, whatever, that someone had access to drugs. And when does the person say, no, I can't do this for you anymore? I'm watching you, and every time I see you, you're worse and worse. You're killing yourself. But I guess if they're going to get paid, then they'll just look the other way and just say, well, I know this guy's going to die soon, but, you know, I just got $25,000 for whatever the drug. I mean, they got to take a stand. But I guess, again, we always say money talks.
No, boy.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm. It says the most, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does.
Talks the loudest. It's sad. It really is.
It is sad.
Yeah, but it's personal responsibility, though. Anything I do is my fault. Like, unless I'm short of being drugged or something like that, then it's somebody else could indirectly or directly actually affect me. But if I'm choosing to do that, put stuff, I couldn't ever understand how people have the balls, for lack of a better term, or the bravery to stick needles, to take pills. Yeah. I don't know how you do it. Because even if you started out, I don't even want to say good intentions, but you started out like a little, like not like minor, minorly involved, just barely involved in it. And it just escalates every time. Yeah. And it's just all these people with like money and fame and success, and they're ODing on this stuff. It's like,
I heard Hoppy Kirchhoff talking today on West Virginia's number one state in the country, number one. For
ODs.
ODs.
Worst, unhealthiest state.
I said he was given the statistics. It's incredible. It's unbelievable.
But there's been a lot of litigation with that too.
Absolutely.
From a standpoint, they've came down on some of the pharma.
Patrick Morrissey.
They said they've
tried.
Spent millions and millions on trying to get this under control.
And even the middleman, like the Cardinal Health of the world and places
absolutely.
Like that, they've tried to distributing too many, and like per capita, I think to
people just go across the state line.
Per capita, I mean, West Virginia, hands down, like the amount of pill scripts.
Yes.
And that still goes back to the medical community. I mean, even locally, we've had some local docs. I mean, there was, not to mention names, but a doctor that, you know, came across, sent his kids to Catholic school. Matter of fact, you guys will know this cat because he was originally from Moorwood. The pristine, what you would think is a great family, you know, and here to find out he's writing off fucking kind of pills, getting his dick sucked from fucking chicks because he's putting the pen to the pad. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where you get in life as an individual to go, you're making shit tons of money already. Like, when is it enough that you got to do that? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just, that blows me away, man.
And you really just keep doing it until
I get busted, right?
Exactly.
Until I get busted. I mean, it blows me away. It really does.
If people can't get the stuff now in our state, they're just going to the neighboring states, too.
That's exactly
so
right.
They go, I mean, I know they write prescriptions. They take them. There'll be people that will drive to three different states to get the prescriptions filled from the people just to, you know, keep them off their track. But be it down along the, you know, the western side of the state where you got Kentucky, and then up here, you got Ohio. Ohio is a huge problem, too. They're a direct corridor for a lot of those drugs that come into this state. It's
changing subjects. Did you guys see the news today? That guy faked his drowning.
Oh, my God. How fucked
up
was that?
No, I missed that.
Faked his drowning.
Friendship Park up in Jefferson County.
Jefferson County. Fake. He was, I don't, now correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, because he was on the run from the the police for a child,
yes,
child porn, mm-hmm, some ooh, other thing. He faked, him and two other accomplices faked his
drowning.
They had scuba divers out there.
Holy
they
shit.
Had
2 days.
2 days. They had scuba divers. They had.
Where was this at?
Jefferson
County. French. I don't know where.
Friendship Park, whatever that is.
I've heard of it, but I'm not sure where.
Yeah, faked his drowning.
No, I missed
listen,
that.
Did you hear Fred Abdallah, the young.
And I loved it.
He was. I bet if he could go on a rant like right here, if he could, he would have motherfucked that guy. He was
wasted resources.
Resources.
And shit.
Putting people's lives in jeopardy. Yep. And just the time, the money, the effort that taken away from their families, gone scuba divers down there all day, 2 days looking for this dude, and they I don't
so where they end up finding him? How did he trip
still,
up?
I think he's still on the run. I from what I heard.
Oh, see, I think they had him.
They got him.
They have all three of them.
They got him. Oh. Okay.
So where did they slip up? Like obviously there was no body. That was going to be a problem. So yeah. What were these guys thinking? They could just do that. Nobody would look.
Here's the deal. If you would see them, Matt, you.
Oh, okay. All right.
If you are not a sketch artist, but if you went up and drew it, you guarantee you'd get it pretty darn close.
Okay. All right.
See, and I know this is extreme, and we talk about this all the time. With those types of situations,
oh my God.
They put those people through that for 2 days, and like you said, risk people's lives down in murky water, the financial end.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Put a bullet in their fucking head.
I agree. End them.
Put a bullet in their head.
Actually, just people's money.
Serve them right. Just tie concrete to their legs and throw them in that lake.
Talk about
so
karma.
You want some you want some bodies in the lake? Here you go.
And let the divers.
We'll really go get you.
Yeah, here's your exercise for the day. Go find the dead guy. We know he's in there.
Great plan. Great plan. His buddies were on board with it, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, one was a woman.
One was a woman.
Yeah.
She was probably the brains.
You could draw her. Yeah, she was the brains behind it.
But she had a nice smile.
You didn't see this, Chris?
I did not.
Oh, you guys got to go look it up.
Yeah, I gotta check that out.
It's incredible. I'm glad you saw it, Jeff. Because
how did the story break as far as them? Him, did they just say he went fishing or something?
I'm
not real sure about
not
how
sure
they
the
did
it. Story with that.
Whether they
got drug in by a carp and
whether they were swimming or something, I don't know what they were doing, and they said he died. But I don't know how they found out that he didn't drown. I don't know how that all came about. I just know that.
And the thing of nowadays, what blows me away too, with technology, you may get away with something for so long,
right,
but eventually you're going to get caught up. And I guess, you know, these people that try, and even like these people that are
it's like embezzling,
kill their spouses and think they're going to get away with it. I mean, it just blows me away. Eventually you're going to get caught.
You're going to get caught.
I mean, it just makes no sense.
Yep.
Did you guys see the Buckeye campus yesterday? And I know none of us are Buckeye fans, but I thought this was actually kind of cool that four or five of their prominent players held a like a Bible study and literally like out on the main campus.
Cool.
And it was flooded with people out on the campus.
Really?
You just don't hear about that kind of shit anymore.
No, of course not.
And I'm no Bible beater by no means.
No, you wouldn't hear about that.
No, you wouldn't hear about
why
that.
You hear about that?
Why wouldn't they have that on ESPN?
Yeah,
no,
honestly.
No.
I just thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I know.
That is cool.
Yeah, something
good
different
for them.
Yeah.
You know. Said it was players?
Yeah. And I guess, and I don't know their names because obviously I'm not a Buckeye guy, but I mean, from my understanding, pretty astute.
That's all.
I've heard some good things about some of the guys on their roster.
Really?
About that. Yes. Before you even said that, I have heard some really positive things about them trying to do interventions with people and try to get God into their program a little bit more.
See, that's super
and
cool.
To understand it, like they're been given a privilege to be able to be out there. So it's nice to see there are some upstanding young people still.
Good
around.
To end on a good note.
Yeah.
We had a dark cloud over
us. Yeah, ODs, the Pirates, the guy faking his death.
The next one, we're going to be all positive.
All
it's going to be
positive.
Upbeat.
Don't worry.
Jokes, laugh.
We'll tell you about how many winners we have in football.
Right.
That's got to go well.
Yeah, but Mark, if we're going to do this, if us elder statesmen are going to do this again in 2 weeks, there's a lot of bad shit that's going to probably happen between now and then. So
yeah, but let's find the good.
Well, yeah, I know.
All right, so that's everybody's goal for two.
Find it good.
All right. Positive. All right. We're all positive next time.
Right. Positive. Everybody bring some good story to the table.
All right.
It'll take us at least 2 weeks to find. Yeah. It's a good thing. We might have to drag it out till November because I got to really
Here's
hunt.
The thing. You're going to have to find it somewhere besides the news, the newspaper, or social media.
Right.
So I'm not real sure where you're going to find it.
There's not really many places you can look.
It's got to be a personal story.
You got to get lucky. Email us now if you know something. Please contact at the Pine Room Studios.
But don't go to Kroger or Walmart because you won't come out with anything good there.
Don't go to Warwood Shopping Center. Don't go to downtown Wheeling. That's a problem. But anyway, that'll do it for us. 123 in the books here, Pine Room Podcast. Don't forget about all the action coming up on the Watchdog this week. We have Football Fridays. It's a loaded show. We have a pregame show taking you up to Wheeling Park at Parkersburg South. Jeff's son Luke will be on the call with Coach here, so we're excited about that. It's going to be a fun day. Chris at the controls. I'll be in the studio giving updates and doing the pregame. So lots happening there on the Watchdog Network. Get to watchdognetwork.com. You can stream it at any time. Check out the John Marshall games, the Wheeling Park games, and the Wheeling Central games throughout the entire season. So we're excited about that. Excited about the Brownie House. Yes, brownies.com. Get over there today. 20% off your order using the promo code PINEROOM. We had Mike Florio on the show today on the radio show. Check that out, pineroomstudios.com. You can find Mike's interview and anything else that you may have missed from the weeks and months of radio action. So lots happening for us here in this time of year, but we're excited to be a part of it, and hope you enjoy the all the listening pleasures that you may be able to indulge in via the Pine Room Studios. We'll see you next week on episode 124. Soup will be married, and wow. You know what? Probably me, Jeff, and Coach especially, because Chris doesn't bet that much. We'll all be a lot richer. So best of luck this weekend, and we'll see you next week on 124.
Peace.
Yes.
All right, fellas.
Coach, Dad, we can't have a letdown.
Ooh, I know.
Where is Soup's wedding at?
Fucking South Carolina.
Why there?
Oh, because Sammy was down there for something and liked where blah blah blah. Like there's no relative, they've never been to the place or getting married.